Today, I invite you to reflect with me on what it means to be more than a good Samaritan. How do we be more than a good Samaritan? And I draw your attention to some words from the gospel reading for today, from Luke 10 and part of verse 37. Jesus said to him, and by extension, Jesus is saying to us, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. The gospel reading for today from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37, is a familiar passage of scripture, isn't it? It's called the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the reading picks up at the point in the narrative when Jesus is challenged by a lawyer who wanted an explanation of what is involved in obeying the greatest commandment. We know from the scripture reading that the lawyer knows the Jewish scripture. For in response to Jesus' question about what is written in the law, the lawyer's answer came straight from the books of Leviticus 19 and Deuteronomy chapter 6. And in summary, the lawyer responded, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love your neighbor is a response that opened the law to further scrutiny. You know how that happens sometimes. You start examining things a little more closely. So that response led to further scrutiny, as the question then became, who is my neighbor? And who is my neighbor? The lawyer asked. And in response, Jesus told a story to illustrate the meaning of neighbor. And you know the details of what happened on the Jericho Road. They were just read to you. Someone was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, two cities which are fairly close to each other. But along this lonely and dangerous route in hostile country, the traveler was robbed, he was hurt, and left to die. And as the parable goes, three persons passed by. The first to see the injured person was a priest who walked by on the other side of the road. Any priests in the room today? The second was a Levite who then came along and did likewise. Anyone who carry out the practices of the Levites in the room today? We do not know for sure, but could it be that the priest and the Levite were too busy to stop? Isn't that often the case? We're too busy. Or perhaps did not want to get involved. Hands off attitude. Or perhaps were concerned about their own safety and wanted to get away as quickly as possible. And of course, we see many examples of that. But whatever the circumstances, they did not provide any assistance to the wounded traveler. And then a Samaritan came by, saw the wounded traveler, and had compassion on him. Of course, we might want to look a bit at the context at that time, because Samaritans were shunned by the Jews because of their mixed race and their religious practices. And in a way, they were what we might consider sociological outcasts. We could speculate also about the motivation for the compassion shown to the victim by the Samaritan, just as we could speculate on the motive of others who offer help in other situations. However, what is clear from the reading of Scripture and other works is that travelers in those days knew that the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was known to be hostile country. And it is feasible that in a society where the Samaritan might have been an outsider and faced hostility, he could empathize with the victim who was a human being in need. And so by extending the arm of friendship, he showed kindness and generosity to a stranger who was near death. So what does it mean to be a good Samaritan? And who are they? Who are the good Samaritans? One could conclude that the priest and the Levite would be well versed in scripture, but it is the Samaritan who follows the spirit of the law. Similarly, my friends, our Christian calling urges us to be more than good Samaritans, because helping someone in need ought to be entry-level discipleship. As Christians, we endeavor to keep all the commandments by loving God and our neighbors, and we embrace the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And you are probably aware that this idea, this concept of the golden rule, appears in some form or other in nearly every religion or faith group. But how can we be more? And how can we do more in serving one another? Christ helps us in our distress, and we too must be proactive in helping others in their pain, in their suffering, as we are called to act with compassion and not wait for a crisis. We are all beneficiaries of God's love, God's grace, and God's mercy. So how do we be more than good Samaritans? Just a few possibilities. First of all, I think it's important for us to examine our own behavior, because everything starts with us. Everything starts with you and with me. We must ask God to show us his ways and teach us how to act in response to his love and his mercy. I also would suggest that we are called to show moral leadership. And one way of doing this is to join in what the church is doing, for example, through the social justice and advocacy initiatives in the Diocese of Toronto. Certainly here in the community and with other groups, like interfaith groups. Yes, we must help to ignite a spirit of love and service within us and within each other. In Paul's letter to the Colossians that was read this morning, he reminded them of his prayer, and he asked them to lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as they bear fruit in every good work and as they grow in the knowledge of God. And you'd recognize as a paraphrase of Colossians 1 and verse 10. Can we try this? Can we try this? My siblings in Christ, sometimes discipleship calls us to take risks, but we are assured that we will not be called to places where Jesus has not gone before, or where he will not accompany us. The priest and the Levite offered no help. The Samaritan helped. And I am sure that you would agree with me that these are quite contrasting behaviors. Ironically, sometimes those who are expected to care show no mercy, but the outsider, the stranger, is the one who provides assistance. So how do we see ourselves in this parable? What attitudes are evident to us? If you've been listening to the news or speaking to your neighbor, where many of us get our news, or other people in the household, you might be aware of a situation that occurred recently where three persons at quite some risk to themselves jumped to save someone who had had a medical situation and was actually driving. And I'm sure you're familiar with that situation. And I looked at one of the interviews of one of the men involved, and he said that at the time he did not even think about anything. He just jumped to the rescue. And then he reflected on the fact that he has a young child, and dared to think of what could have happened. Yes, good Samaritans who just responded. How do we see ourselves as good Samaritans, or more than good Samaritans? From the reading of Scripture, we can surmise that to the robbers, the wounded person was someone to exploit. To the religious men, and there were men back then, he was a problem to be avoided. To the innkeeper, he was a customer to serve. And to the Samaritan, he was a human being worth caring for and a person to love. So what is our attitude to those in need? Are we disinterested, complacent, too busy, or too self-centered? Or are we willing to take risks and get involved and act? As Christians, we aspire to be the Good Samaritan. But is that all? Is that all? As disciples of Jesus, I suggest that the action of the Good Samaritan, though commendable, is the minimum standard for discipleship. And I'm suggesting that to be true disciples, we must all aspire to be more than a Good Samaritan. By our life and our example, may we become true witnesses for Christ, not by our words, but rather through our deeds. Words are not enough. In the church, our attention is drawn to the life and witness of Saint Benedict, an early saint of the church, whose ministry will be commemorated tomorrow. It's commemorated annually on July the 11th. Saint Benedict is known for the religious community which he founded in 6th century Italy, and for his rule which teaches monastics and teaches us by extension about obedience and the value of prayer to foster stability in spiritual growth. His rule was adopted by several monastic communities and became the foundation of the Order of Saint Benedict, which still flourishes in many communities today. And it's a fascinating piece of work. And if you haven't yet checked it out, check out the work of Saint Benedict and the Benedictine Order. Oh, that still exists. So as we look at a saint of the church who was more than a good Samaritan, we can learn to practice obedience to the will of God. We can learn that we should never cease from praying. And we can learn that we must be relentless in our service to each other. I'm sure that you would agree that in our secular life, we set goals and aim for excellence. And we set the standard at A+, don't we? More than just the minimum requirement. So we are urged to do likewise in our spiritual life as faithful disciples who lead others to Christ. So let us ask ourselves, how do we rate as a good neighbor? How do we rate? The gospel story tells us that we could provide an excuse for our lack of love, which is evident by our complacency and our lack of action. However, we must be clear that our neighbor is anyone who is in need. For love means taking action. For there may be people in need all around us, wherever we may be. Jesus set the standard, and many have accepted the challenge of true discipleship to be more than a good Samaritan, embracing the call of God to show his love, not only with our lips, but also with our lives. And so, my siblings, my sisters and brothers in Christ, as we are able, let us now go and do likewise. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.